Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Let's go!
This is the Big E Sports Show
on the SportsMap Radio Network from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, we are back. Hour two, SportsMap Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker Campbell. Going to continue with some NFL news and notes to kick off hour two with my producer, Jack McCraw. Follow on Twitter, as always, JackMC15. All right, Jack, we got to talk about Tom Brady, because Brady and his Buccaneers, they have lost for the third time in four games, and there's just been a lot of questions and speculation about his relationship with his head coach. What's your perception?
I think it's a lot of media speculation, honestly. There was a bit of a drift between him and Belichick in New England, but since he's come down to Tampa, he's won seven games before these past two losses, and I think Bruce Arians might be calling out Tom Brady just to kind of strengthen him up and trying to send the message to the team that, hey, even though Tom is the superstar of this team, we are all still one team and nobody is above being called out. So I think it's kind of much ado about nothing as far as media speculation goes. And I think Arians and Tom Brady have a fine relationship, and I expect to see them in the playoffs this year.
Okay, but Jack, then how do you explain why has he struggled in Tampa Bay?
I don't think he struggled, really. He lost twice to the Saints, and he lost to the Rams. I wouldn't say that Tom Brady is quote-unquote struggling. And also, I think the system that he runs with Bruce Arians does cause him to throw a lot more interceptions, because they throw deep a lot more than he's used to. When he was in New England, he utilized his running backs much more than he does now. And Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette aren't used to catching short passes in the Bruce Arians offense. So I think he's just still adjusting to this offense, and he didn't have a preseason to really adjust it. I do sound like a Tom Brady sympathizer right now, but I do believe that he's still a top 10 quarterback in this league, and he can take the Buccaneers far in the playoffs.
Okay, so fast forward past the 2020 season. I mean, what do you think is going to happen to Tom Brady in 2021? I mean, is there any chance? I mean, come on, there's been talk. Could he be reunited with the Patriots?
No, I don't see that. I think he's going to play out his second year in Tampa. Unless Tampa trades him and Bill Belichick trades for him back, that would be hilarious to see him back in New England and Belichick's like, hey, guess what? You're back.
Well, and you have to wonder, too, I mean, would he want him back?
I don't think so. I know Tom Brady has meant a whole lot to this organization throughout the years, and he's going to retire as a Patriot. But I think that they would look for a new young quarterback like a Zach Wilson out of BYU.
Hey, speaking of NFL, coming up next is an NFL alum, played 5 years, and that is Mark Pattison. He's a Sports Illustrated executive, and you're going to want to stay tuned for this compelling conversation. Come on back, SportsMap Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the SportsMap Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Welcome back, SportsMap Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I am your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell. Always love to connect with our audience. You can join us online at Twitter, where we're always live, at eRadio Sports, info at eradiosports.com, podcast arena.com. Well, we have already hit on a variety of subjects, but here in hour two, we are looking so forward to our next conversation and visiting with an inspirational speaker who has essentially, I mean, he has done it all. He is a former NFL player. In fact, he played 5 seasons in the league for the Raiders, the Rams, and the Saints. He is currently an executive with Sports Illustrated. And did you know he was the first NFL player to climb 6 summits? So we're looking so forward to this conversation, and welcome in the great Mark Pattison. Good morning, Mark.
How you doing?
Hey, it's great to have you on the program, and we're looking forward to reliving so many of your amazing memories. But I want to kind of get the pulse on some of your former teams. I mean, this has certainly been an unique and an unusual season in the NFL during this pandemic. I mean, could you even imagine as a player, you know, muscle through a pandemic and preparing yourself to play each and every week? What do you think it would be like for you?
You know, I don't know, and I feel sorry and bad for a lot of teams, and really more on the college level. I played at the University of Washington. We were very successful way back in the day under Don James, legendary coach. And it just takes so much to do the time on in terms of film study and breaking it down and really understanding your opponent, and every team runs something slightly different, and really understanding what that was. A week ago, the University of Washington played the University of Utah, and that game was not scheduled until Wednesday of that particular week, you know, last week.
Right.
And the reason why that was is because Washington was supposed to play, I don't know, I can't remember who they were supposed to play, Washington State or something, and Utah was supposed to play somebody else, and both those teams had COVID issues, and so they bailed out. And so it literally is like a ragtag thing when you're talking about having to travel. I know Stanford is because they shut down the state of the great state of California, and they're not allowing teams to participate. They literally have flown to the Northwest and are practicing somewhere up in either Oregon or Washington in preparation for those two teams. So just the cost, the disruption, all that kind of stuff is just amazing. And then as you move up to the NFL level, it's just, you know, between the facilities being shut down, just games being moved from Sunday to Tuesday. I mean, it's just everybody's having to go through a serious amount of adjustment.
NFL alum Mark Patterson is with us at Sports Map Radio Network. And I'd rattled off some of the teams that you had played for. I mean, do you keep up with the NFL, or have you totally done a hard crossover and you are all about mountaineering?
Well, no, I mean, I still have my hand involved in a number of different ways. You know, there's been a lot of things that have really evolved since I played, you know, 20 plus years ago. And one of the things is when you stop playing, you literally went off the cliff. That was it. And the NFL has done such a wonderful job of creating these life after football programs, from, help in like people have physical, mental issues to financial help to, transitioning into different careers and things like that. What they've also done too is by a team have really created these alumni networks. They really never used to have this. And so having once a year Raider reunions, Saint reunions, where you can come down, you can see your old teammates, and really trying to foster that community that we all had. You know, it was so much about the locker room, and you've heard this many times over, that the thing that so many of the players miss the most is not necessarily getting hit on the field,
right,
but what went on in the locker room with those guys, kind of like the military people that go to war and they're in those combat units and all the things that they have to go through. So I do have my hands in terms of weekly communications from around the league, what's going on, how, you know, NFL players can be helped, so on and so forth. And then my role at Sports Illustrated is such that, you know, I'm constantly involved at running all these different team sites that we have for the Cowboys or the Saints or the Rams, you know, all the different 32 teams that we have. And so, I constantly am at kind of the front of the news of what's happening, breaking news, things like that. And then from my mountaineering, it's been really great. You know, you said it almost correctly at the very beginning. I'm in the process of trying to become the first NFL player to climb all seven summits, six of the seven. Yep, with Mount Everest next up here in the spring of 2021. And I was set to go over. And so you talked about, you know, having to adjust from NFL and college teams and other sports teams. The world has had to adjust. And I was supposed to go to Nepal this last April to take on that big beast, Mount Everest. And, you know, the whole world shut down with COVID. And so I had to readjust. And so I've been training now going into my second year for this thing, this big ultimate challenge. But the tie-in is that the NFL and other sports, University of Washington, things like that, have been very supportive in what I'm doing in terms of that connection to sport and mountaineering.
Okay, so you grew up in the Northwest, as you were talking about. You played collegiately at the University of Washington. You guys had a lot of success. How did you, I mean, did you always have an affinity and a love for, you know, climbing? I mean, where did this come from?
Well, you know, when I was growing up, my dad took me up in the mountains. And if anybody that is familiar with the state of Washington, and in particular in Seattle, it's a very mountainous community. And we've got a big mountain up there called Mount Rainier. It's 14,500. And actually, a lot of people come from around the states to take that on. It's really, just with all the elements that they have, it's a mini Mount Everest in terms of being very glacier-aided. And the temperature and the ice and the walls that you have to climb and everything else. And so I started climbing, you know, just small things when I was a kid and then kind of made my way up. But it was really about 8-9 years ago, I was going through a challenging time. And so I really needed to have a big goal put out there in front of me in order to pull myself out of this place. You know, it was hard, it was challenging, but it just seemed like once I put that goal out there, I did some research, I found that no NFL player had ever climbed the seven summits, and I said, you know what, I'm going to be that guy. And then rather than focus on my situation, everything was focused towards what was out there, how I was going to go achieve this, the kind of shape I was going to have to get in, the kind of mountains I was going to have to train on. And so out of that just started, you know, I went down to Tanzania and climbed Kilimanjaro, and I was over to the next year. I went on into Russia, climbed a mountain there, then down to Australia, and then on to Argentina. And then I climbed Denali up in Alaska, which was a beast. And then, you know, just like one thing after another and all this momentum. And what I didn't realize at the time is that I just thought it'd be 7 years and seven mountains. I forgot to factor in Mother Nature, you know. And so when I was on Denali, I've actually had to do that twice, just because the first time it was minus 80 degrees up on top, if you can imagine that.
Oh my goodness.
And then this last year with COVID, you know, it just blocked climbing all over the world. So, you know, you could never imagine, you live at base camp at 17,500 feet for 2 months, and you could not survive in an element with COVID breaking out. If in that community of Sherpas and other teams and everything else, there's probably, you know, well over 100 people there if a COVID situation broke out. So, you know, again, we had to shut it down. So this thing has been ongoing now for 8-9 years, just trying to make this and do this big accomplishment.
We are winding down our time. Mark Patterson, Sports Illustrated executive, NFL alum, is with us at Sports Map Radio Network. There's so much more that I want to get into. I just have to wonder, I mean, here as you kind of recount, I mean, you have had so many incredible experiences. How did you overcome fear? I mean, do you ever get afraid?
You know, I think, like, if you're equating the mountain climbing or even the NFL, I was a wide receiver, and I can tell you, going across the center and getting blasted by Ronnie Lott is not a lot of fun. And at the same time, you know, it has to really be, you have to have no fear. And really, I think I kind of look at it a little bit differently. There's so many things that all of us have to do, and what we have to do more than anything to accomplish great things is step into the fear. But all things, you know, you don't go from Little League to the NFL. There's these iterations of Little League, high school, college, and you keep getting bigger, stronger, having more success, and that success breeds confidence. It's the same thing in the mountains. I started, you know, again, back in the Northwest on smaller peaks, and just really day hikes, and then I went to Mount Rainier, and then from Mount Rainier I started this quest, and so I flew down to Tanzania. I did Kilimanjaro, which is 19,333 feet, and I like, okay, I can go to altitude, and I'm good with that, but there's no real snow, you know, down there. And I went to Russia the next year, and I went through all that, and I climbed a mountain called Mount Elbrus, and that was a crazy, because we got this electrical storm, and somebody died. They got zapped by a streak of lightning, and it was just like, okay, mountains are real. But every single time I took a step, I learned something, I grew more confident, and my ability to take on tougher and higher mountains continued to progress to where I'm at a point now where I'm ready to take on Mount Everest.
Well, we look forward to that conversation. You got to do some homework. You got to get on a book. We've got to have you on, Mark. Is that something that you would like to do in the near future?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, I've been journaling my adventures as I go around the world. And really, at the end of the day, I mean, this is my main message for anything anybody does in life. It's really not about the summit. The summit is just part of the process. But when you start talking about competitive greatness, which is really the top of the pyramid of success, which was created by John Wooden, it's really about understanding those those 25 different building blocks and really going about the process of loving it. If you don't love what you're doing, because I go out every day, I've moved my entire life to Sun Valley, Idaho. I live at 6,000 feet and I run up and down the mountain every single day. And now I've been doing it for 2 years since last year got pushed off. And if you don't love going and putting yourself through that kind of pain and agony and having defeat and seeing success and all that kind of stuff, it's going to be a hard route to get there. And I think a lot of these little pearls of wisdom and people I've met along my way, you know, I've got this stuff that I've been documenting down, and I want to convert it into a book and really to follow my podcast, which is really called Finding Your Summit, which is really metaphorical.
It would be a fascinating read. Our very special guest has been Mark Pattison, Sports Illustrated executive, NFL alum. He has just done it all. And so we look forward to our another conversation in the spring. Thank you so much, Mark. We really appreciate you carving out some time.
Thank you.
Continued success. You bet. Much more coming your way. Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I am your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. And as always, at O'Reilly Auto Parts, you are guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts that you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at the guaranteed lowest prices. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Well, right now, we're going to shift our attention and our conversation to some college basketball, a season like never before as the world continues to power through the spread of COVID-19. And we're always looking for some inspiration. So we have extended an invitation in our next segment to Jimmy Dykes of ESPN. He's a college basketball analyst. And also, he was on our program in the spring. He had just released his new book. It is titled The Film Doesn't Lie, Evaluating Your Life One Play at a Time. And I know here we are in the month of December. It is the perfect time to go out and get a copy of this book. Again, it's titled The Film Doesn't Lie, Evaluating Your Life One Play at a Time. Jimmy, good to have you on the program. Good morning.
Alyssa, it's great to hear from you. I'm doing really well. I'm excited about college basketball. I'm excited about my book still selling. Make a great Christmas present for people, but I'm anxious to talk to you right now. It's good to hear from you.
Hey, well, let's get into it. Let's talk about the 2020-21 college basketball season has begun. I mean, how do you predict, or how do you go about predicting one of the most unpredictable seasons in the history of the game? I mean, how do you think ultimately this season is going to play out? Because there's so much uncertainty.
Well, there is. I think it's a year where older teams have an advantage. I think if you look at the last three or four national champions, old wins, you're going to see teams that over that time frame that they start juniors and seniors. And I think that's what we have with our best teams early in this college basketball season. When you look at Gonzaga and Baylor and Iowa and Wisconsin, Tennessee, those are old teams. And they're not relying on first-year players. And I think that will play out all season long. And I think we have some really, really good teams this year in college basketball when you consider all the difficulties, all the challenges that we've had to work through just to get to this point to play games. And you look up the first 5 or 6 days of college basketball, the first week, the games are being played at a really high level. And I've watched Gonzaga and Baylor this past week. I know they play today, which they're probably the best two teams in the country right now that we have. But man, those teams are old, they're good, they're terrific offensively. And the key is, can we keep playing games and get to that NCAA tournament? Because if we do and we pull it off, I think that tournament has a chance to be a unique, special, uncommon, thrilling tournament as we've ever had.
You know, Jimmy, when you are talking to the coaches in this unusual year, unique season, what kind of feedback? What are they sharing? What's the biggest challenge that they're facing as a head coach?
Well, just coaching their team through a pandemic is challenging. I mean, you got all the social distancing protocols that are in place before, during, and after practice, with all the masks being worn by coaches and trying to communicate with their kids, and I think trying to keep their mental mind in a proper frame for their players is very challenging right now. There's a lot of isolation with people going on, and even with players at the college level, they're kind of isolated with their team only, and at times are isolated from each other. So there's just a lot of, I think, motivation and making sure that you're on top of where your team is from a mental standpoint right now is huge. So it's been great for teams to play games because they were practicing for so long. You know, the preseason this year was longer than ever because of the delay, the start delay. So I know everybody feels a little better about themselves, about having more hope, the better outlook on life, all those things, even fans, when they look up and see games on TV.
So how many games do you think they will have to play, teams will have to play, in order to qualify for the NCAA tournament?
For basketball, we're at 13, and I think the number could change. It depends on kind of how the pandemic plays out, and do we go in the wrong direction. So I think it's a flexible number, but as a result, scheduling is the biggest challenge right now for every basketball team out there, because you lose games, you're scrambling around to find games, and you're making changes on the fly. So adaptability, flexibility, all those things, being quick to adjust to change, it's an important part of college basketball this year. It's an important part of all of us to have a place in it. You know, my schedule has changed already in the first 7 days that we've been playing games. I've had games added and games canceled just on the fly because of the COVID situation. So I think it's a chance for all of us to learn too, and stay flexible, stay thankful, be very grateful for the games that are played.
Well, our base is here in Texas, and just a moment ago you were talking about, you know, primarily covering the SEC, but give us the forecast in the Big 12 Conference. Obviously, right at the top is Baylor. Looking forward to that game this afternoon. How deep do you see the Big 12 Conference when you specifically talk about men's basketball?
No, it's really, really deep, and the league's gotten off to a tremendous start. You know, West Virginia started it off with winning the tournament up in South Dakota. Texas won the Maui Invitational. And it's that league is as good as anybody. We know Baylor is a Final Four threat. Like they are built to go the entire distance this year. I think they were built to go there last year as well, but it got canceled. So that's a league that, you know, every head coach, and they're right, every head coach in a power conference in particular says, man, our league is the toughest one out there. The toughest league out there is the one that you're playing in. From a coaching standpoint, but the Big 12 is no joke. And Kansas is different this year. They're playing smaller than usual just because that's their best lineup on the floor. But you look at the likes of Kansas, Baylor, Texas Tech, West Virginia. I mean, those are four or five teams that are going to be in that top 25 all season long. So Texas has gotten off to a tremendous start. You know, they have a big matchup with Villanova this weekend as well. But, you know, Texas is a team defensively. When I've watched teams play, and I keep my eyes on a lot of games across the country every night, Texas defensively, they're about as good as we have right now in college basketball early this season.
Hey, we are wrapping up our time. College basketball analyst, you can check him out on ESPN. That is Jimmy Dykes. Also give him a follow on Twitter, at Coach Jimmy Dykes. We also want to get your thoughts on your new book that you just released. It is titled, The Film Doesn't Lie, Evaluating Your Life One Play at a Time. And for our listeners that are tuning in, I mean, as you had mentioned, it's a great stocking stuffer. And I do a lot of book reviews throughout the years and doing this program. I mean, yours is in my top five. I mean, it's so good. It's so compelling. Just tell our listeners what they're going to find when they open it up.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Elissa. I think it's a great Christmas gift for anyone out there, but especially the males in your life that love sports and are pursuing maybe a deeper, more authentic walk with God, because that's what the book really calls us to. I've had very encouragement in my heart from readers all across the country that a certain chapter or a certain topic in the book really spoke to them and took them to a new level in their own life. So, you know, I take the time about once every 4 or 5 days right now when I'm home. They get me the books. If you order them off our website, CoachJimmyDykes.com, then I take the time to write a personal note in there and autograph it. Now would be the time to order those so you can get in time for Christmas. But I think it's a very challenging book. It's going to take the reader to a point where you get quiet before God and carve out space in your life to create new change and kind of renew your focus and your walk. So I feel very blessed that I've written it. I feel very blessed. I've encouraged a lot of people with it. And again, if you order it off CoachJimmyDykes.com, you can get in time for Christmas. It'll be a personalized book, and I think it'll be something that is a great investment in someone's life or in your own life as well.
I think head coach Rick Barnes, he said it best. It's a must read for anyone pursuing a more authentic walk with God. Congratulations, Jimmy. You and your family have a wonderful Christmas and holiday, and we look forward to catching up in 2021. Okay, time to lace up those sneakers. Let's go play some ball.
All right, Alyssa, thank you for having me anytime.
Yes, sir. Stick around. Much more coming your way here at Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back.
Is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect. You can always join us on Twitter at E-Radio Sports, info at eRadioSports.com, podcastarena.com. And as always, at O'Reilly Auto Parts, you are guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts that you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at the guaranteed lowest prices. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, we are excited to continue our PGA News and Notes conversation and delighted to have back with us from SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio, and that is the co-host of Catrick and McGinnis on Tap, the great Brian Catrick. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm great and thrilled to be with you, Alyssa. Never been the great before, so I'll take it.
Absolutely. Receive that. So it is exciting. I mean, here we are. We're almost through 2020. We're in the month of December, and we know several players, they're looking to finish this year on a high note. So here we are, day three, round three of the Mayakoba Golf Classic. Who you got, Justin Thomas or Abraham Anser?
Abraham Anser, I think, is going to have all the hometown crowd on his side for sure. I think that helps. I think you got to focus Justin Thomas, though. And I don't know that he does any he's very intense. I don't know that he has any starts where he's not really bringing it. This is a late season start, as you pointed out. It's the last one of the season or last one of the calendar year. It'd be pretty easy for him to not maybe be working through some different clubs. Maybe if there's a new ball out, I don't know, whatever he's working on, but I don't get the sense that that's what he's doing. And I do, he told us earlier in the week that, he's got the father-son circled on his calendar.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's going to play with his dad, uh-huh. Mike, and apparently they've got a rivalry with the Woods family. So, that brings, I know Abraham Anser in front of the hometown fans, that's important. And so you throw that right up there with Justin Thomas playing so that he doesn't get trash talked by an 11-year-old.
Yeah, a little smack talk going on between Tiger Woods' son and Charlie. I mean, what's the history on that? Can you kind of pull back the curtain? Where does that come from?
Well, it's the first we've heard of it. So Tiger's 11-year-old son, Charlie, is a player, and we've learned that. He's been playing in some events. And there's been a video or two leak out, and his swing looks identical to his father's.
Yes.
What an interesting, and Tiger understands this. First of all, Tiger knows exactly what it's like to be Tiger Woods. He can probably imagine to know what it's like to be the son of Tiger Woods. And I think that, if you could do this at 20,000 feet, you'd say, hey, Charlie, why don't you play volleyball or something? Do something that dad wasn't the best player ever in. But that's not how it went. And you can't, you can't control what your kids want to do. And if this is where the passion is, then, well, who better to help him with it? So, then Tiger commits to the father-son, and our first reaction is, and the father-son has been way more than just fathers and sons for a long time. They're actually going to call it the PNC Championship, but casual golf fans may not realize what they're watching. It's the old father-son, and there's fathers and daughters and mothers and sons. Annika's going to play with her dad, but you get it. Parent, child, however you want to call it. So the story comes out, the Tiger's going to play in that, and my immediate thought is, wow, that's a lot of pressure to put on Charlie. But obviously Tiger knows what he's doing, and probably it was Charlie's idea. Well, now Justin Thomas, earlier in the week, in Mexico in the press room basically let the cat out of the bag. It was all Charlie's idea. He's been wanting to play in this event for years. It was Tiger that was saying no.
Yeah.
And Charlie apparently is a trash talker and has been wanting to beat Justin in whatever little contest they can come up with. So I don't know if Charlie's trying to pick on somebody his own size. I don't know where this is coming from, but I love it.
Hey, you need to schedule Charlie and get him on your show. That'd be a compelling conversation, Brian.
An interesting request too. We're fortunate enough to get Tiger from time to time, and I've never even thought to ask about one of the kids.
Hey, you're listening to the voice of Brian Katrick, Sirius XM PGA Tour Radio, Sirius 208 and XM 92. Let's talk some more about Justin Thomas. You're talking about the press conference. He had mentioned that he was 4 to 5 rounds from a historic year and that 10 to 11 wins in a season is possible. But he's not closing out tournaments. I mean, how does he change that narrative? What does he need to do?
Well, I think you just got to keep giving yourself chances. You know, he was in the mix at the U.S. Open, and you got all caught up. It was easy to get caught up. Keep in mind that these majors this year were all different. You know, there were no fans. And I think one of the strengths that Justin Thomas had, and he's not going to necessarily put it in these terms, but one of his strengths that he still has is the ability to play under pressure and the ability to pull those shots off in the big moments with people watching. And you hone that in big moments with nobody watching, but then it takes another level to be able to get to do it like he did at Quail Hollow when he won the PGA Championship. And you know, I can't tell you how packed it was at Charlotte coming through the Green Mile there, and you turn around and you play your way through 17 and 18 Green Mile 16 17 and 18. So to do it with all those people, they're able to just put, you know, half of Charlotte was out there, maybe all of Charlotte was out there. So this year we didn't have that. So you talk about a guy that enters the weekend at the U.S. Open at winged foot in contention, but you got contenders that are doing things a little differently in Matthew Wolf and Bryson DeChambeau. You don't know what to make of that. There's no crowd. The whole vibe is different. And I think, you know, you know how sharp it has to be out on the PGA Tour at the top level. If you're 1 degree off for one reason or another, you're probably not going to win. And I think that's what Justin Thomas was talking about. I think the lack of fans has had him just a little bit off, or at very least negated an edge that he had. I think that's probably more accurate. He had an edge on a lot of these guys, and that element has been gone this year, and there's nothing he can do about it.
Let's transition and talk some more about Abraham Answer. It really has been a terrific year, and just what do you think has been the key to his success?
Well, I think patience. He mentioned earlier in the week that he needed to stop trying to be other players and needed to realize that his best stuff is good enough to win. And I think that's a gigantic realization for any PGA Tour player. And then after that, you know, can you stay disciplined? Which clearly the answer is yes. Do you have the tools? Yep. And can you keep them together? Well, he's in tremendous shape. So you're not really worried about injury with Abraham Answer. Not a guy that hits it forever, you know, even though he's in Justin Thomas's weight class. He doesn't have his firepower off the tee. And the good news that I heard from him earlier in the week is that he's probably not going to try to get there. Now, the bad news is if you're not going to be aspiring to be one of the top 20 in driving distance, then you're likely to get left behind in today's current conditions and rules and setup with the equipment and everything else. Hitting distance is by far the most important skill. So it's very refreshing for a guy like Abraham Answer. And he's not short by any. We used to think Jordan Spieth was short because he wasn't in the top 30 in driving distance. He was still hitting at 300 yards. And, you know, that's where Abraham Answer is. But there's a tool that's missing in his toolbox that some of the other guys have. So stay patient. And I think being patient has been his biggest strength.
Well, and when you look at him, you know, on the outside, just his disposition, I mean, he just appears to be so calm on the inside. I mean, that is a huge asset for him. I mean, he is a little DJ-esque.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you go back to the Masters and the run that he had, and once again, you're doing that with nobody there. But, there, you know, I don't want to make too much about that because he knew where he was. And he knew what the tournament was called, and he knew what the golf course was called, and you know he knew that moment was going to live forever if he could keep it together. So I think that all in all, and you know when you see DJ beat guys like Brooks by 10 shots and Rory by somewhere around that same number,
Crazy.
You know, and he won himself by five, and he set a tournament record. I don't think you can beat yourself up all that much. I think you can really pat yourself on the back and say, hey, other than Sunday when it kind of came apart, that was a hell of a week. And let's take what we learned from Sunday. And maybe you did some things Sunday because you thought you had to try to catch DJ. And, oh, by the way, nobody was going to catch him. And maybe you'd learn what you can from that. But I think you take away a lot of positives for if you're Abraham Hanson.
Okay, so as we look ahead to 2021, we were talking about Tiger Woods and his son Charlie just a few moments ago. But, I mean, what are your expectations for Tiger? I mean, can he still contend? And I think his birthday, is it this month, Brian? I think he turns 45, right?
It's December 30th.
Okay, the big 3-0. Okay, gotcha.
Yep. He'll be 45 on the 30th. So, yeah, I think that we'll see a lot of the same from Tiger in that we're not going to see him play a ton. We're looking at least two more cold majors. I don't know if the British Open will get their act together and decide they want to play this year. That really rubbed me and a whole lot of other fans the wrong way that they played every other championship they had except for the one they had an insurance policy on.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of sold out golf fans there. But assuming they make a more likable decision this year, that one will probably be cold. The U.S. Open will probably be cold. And that's where we are with Tiger. As you're looking at the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines, obviously we know his success there. But you're looking at a guy that's going to have to pick his spots. And he's already told us all this. I'm not making this up. He's told us. He's got to pick his spots. The warm weeks are better for him. Courses that he's familiar with are better for him. He doesn't have much of a record at Royal St. George's, but you get the good half of the weather draw and half that field gets eliminated anyway. So maybe he'll get a good break there. Maybe we'll have a warm week. And then you look at Kiawa. Can he put it together at Kiawa? And we know he's got a puncher's chance at Augusta. So, and that's Tiger's year right there. It's an Olympic year. And I don't know that's as much a priority for him as it was. I don't know that he's got the ability to make it a priority. His back is going to dictate. So if Tiger wants to be in the Olympics, his back's going to decide whether he can be in it. If he wants to make a FedEx Cup run, his back's going to decide whether he can do that. It's a Ryder Cup year. His back's going to decide how much in contention he is for a Ryder Cup spot. And we know what his heart wants to do. The question is going to be what his back lets him do.
Our PGA News and Notes continues with Brian Katrick from SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the SportsMap Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back, SportsMap Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, let's rejoin Brian Katrick from SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio. Hey, we're so glad you are with us at SportsMap Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, going one-on-one with Brian Katrick from SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio. Okay, so we hit on Tiger. What about Jordan Spieth? I mean, can he end this winless drought? I mean, it's been over 3 years. Is that true since he's won?
That sounds right. Yeah, it's been a while. And, it's really interesting to me because you got to crawl in these guys' minds. We're just not capable of doing that. Jordan just got married. There's going to be babies soon. Who could blame him for losing a little focus? And I'm sure he would tell you that he's not losing focus, that he's as focused as ever. We heard that a little bit from Rory with a back and forth with Tom Weisskopf. But you know what these guys are going through off the golf course. Parenthood is a big deal. And if you're Jordan Spieth, you've won a FedEx Cup, you've won a bunch of majors, you're one away from the career Grand Slam. You'd be excused if you skipped a day on the driving range every now and then. The problem is the work ethic that he has. If you do skip that day, he's going to work a little extra hard to make up for it the next time. And that's what I'm seeing, is I'm seeing a guy that's pressing a little bit. And, you let your resume speak for you for a while, but he's past that, and it's bothering him. And the fact that it's bothering him is not sitting well. That's not helping him. So he's in a spot where, I don't know what he's got to sort out. But life is still good for Jordan Spieth. So let's keep that in mind. As Rory said, he goes home to that little face, and I'm just assuming that that's on the horizon for all those guys,
yeah.
Jordan and
his life, right.
Ricky. And mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what we expect. And at that point, your perspective changes. And so you know, in this case, maybe it'll help Jordan because, like I said, I think he's trying really hard right now and maybe trying a little too hard.
Would he consider reshuffling the deck as far as maybe some movement with some coaching and things like that? I mean, is anything like that being in consideration or perhaps it's already taken place? What do you know?
I mean, generally, it's your coach and then it's your caddy and then it's your wife. You know, that's the order, I think, that John McGinnis pointed out. He hasn't done any of that, and I wouldn't expect a whole lot of that. You know, I think you can look at the numbers. He doesn't look at the numbers, and is it Cameron McCormick's system that's letting him down, or is it execution of Cameron McCormick's system not as good as it used to be? Well, if you don't have the time or you don't have the physical tools for whatever reason, then maybe you can go to another guy. Maybe just a change of scenery. A lot of people are saying that, but Jordan's a sensible guy. You know, it's almost like saying, all right, let's mark the ball with a 1976 quarter instead of a 1973 quarter.
Well, right.
We all know that's not really going to make the difference. You were just as good with the other quarter. And I think Jordan's sensible enough to know that Cameron McCormick didn't just lose something. The bottom line for Jordan Spieth is there was a stretch of time when he was making 25% of his putts from 20 to 25 feet. He was holding a magic wand in his hands. Well, the magic is gone. And without that magic wand, he's a very good tour player. But with that magic wand, he was unstoppable. He's a Hall of Famer. So he's got to, you know, he's got to rectify that in his head somehow. And when you stop making putts at this ridiculous rate like he was making them, it can creep into the rest of your bag. And that's not Cameron McCormick's fault. That's not Michael Greller's fault. It's not even Jordan Spieth's fault. He's got to realize who he was. He was doing something that nobody else was doing, and I don't know how you get that back.
Mm-hmm. He is simply the best. Check him out, SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio, and that is Brian Katrick. Brian, connect with our audience, and what time does your show air?
We are 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 days a week there on SiriusXM.
Always an amazing listen. Brian, have a great weekend. We look forward to another conversation in 2021. Thank you, Brian.
You too. Thanks for the time.
That, of course, is Brian Katrick, SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio. A big thank you to all of our amazing guests and our lineup. Our show is a guest-driven show. We appreciate them coming on each and every week. Again, don't drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show. So long, everybody.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.